All right, if you can get your Bibles out tonight.
Job chapter number 1. Brother Dickinson, I forgot to ask you, did anyone send any prayer requests on our Facebook page or anything? Anything we needed to pass on? That's all right, don't worry about it. Okay, sounds good. Sometimes we can check there. I know the Bears are home tonight. They said they'd be watching. So if you're watching Bears, hello. Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1, we're going to read the first 12 verses, probably a familiar story to you. We're going to draw some thoughts out of here and then hopefully be an encouragement to you. Job chapter number 1, verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance and the increase of the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, it's good to be able to assemble together. Lord, it just brings a joy to my heart, opening up these new hymnals and seeing these new songs. And God, it's good to sing praises to you. And Lord, you are worthy of our worship. Lord, as we look at this message now, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and strengthen us from it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I would dare say a familiar story, a story that I would say maybe the first 2 or 3 chapters of Job and then the last 2 or 3 chapters of Job, very familiar. The middle ones are a little harder to maybe navigate through, take some thought, some study, trying to figure out who's talking. Is this a problem? Is it not? But we're familiar with the story of Job. You know, in life, sometimes things get hard. And sometimes we don't understand why. Job is not privy to all the background information. Job, as we see, it's kind of like maybe in theater or something. There's Job, and he's doing his thing, and he's got all his stuff. He's got all his animals. He's got his kids, and he's making sacrifices. The word, the Bible defines him. God gives this testimony of him that he fears God and eschews evil. That means he hates evil, and he fears the Lord. And there he is just doing his thing. He is not aware of the conversation between Satan and God. And to Job's life, it would be easy to look and go, "I don't understand what's happening," because we know what happens after this. We know that Satan comes and he does everything but take Job's life. Later on, he goes back and he says, "Oh, he's just loving you because he has his health." And he's like, "You just can't kill him." And he takes away his health. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But can you imagine Job's perspective? "I don't understand what's going on. One day everything's clear and good, and then behind the scenes, though, behind the scenes, we feel like Satan got the upper hand. But behind the scenes, God is very much aware of Job's situation. So much so that he initiates the conversation with Satan. Did you consider my servant Job? I wonder if Job later on one day walks through heaven's gates and says, what were you doing? Like, man, it was so good. And then why'd you bring my name up? Couldn't you brought? But God does. And you know, many a times our life gets compared to Job. We're sitting here, we're living through life, we're going through things, and we look at life and go, well, it's not as bad as Job's, right? But the reality of it is, sometimes life gets really hard. Sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes behind the scenes we look at it and go, I just don't understand what's going on in my life. And someone comes by and goes, well, look at Job. Look at what he had to go through, and he made it through fine. Yeah, but I'm not Job, and I don't understand all this stuff. And sometimes it just gets heavy. It gets hard. And here we are midweek, and I don't know what your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was like, but maybe it was hard. I want to encourage you here tonight, when things are hard to understand. Number one, the first point, write these things down. We have an enemy we cannot see. Satan physically goes to God and says, I got a plan. And God asks Satan, he says, where have you been? He's like, oh, I've been going back and forth, right, throughout the earth. Isn't that what he said? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, not making peace. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 here tonight. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hey, there's a real enemy out there, even though you may not be able to see him. See, Job couldn't see the things that were going on. You and I can't see all the things that are behind. Sometimes we take our wrath or our frustrations out of the spiritual trials on the things that we see before us. Is that not true? Hey, I'm frustrated with the testing or the tribulation or the difficulty that I'm going through right now. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to be short with everybody around me. I'm going to blame this or I'm going to blame that. Hey, there's no one necessarily to blame. Let's recognize that there really is an enemy that we just can't see. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm here to tell you tonight, the person sitting across the aisle from you is not your enemy. Well, maybe. Okay, no. Mr. Seatman and Ray were making eyes at each other. Real quick side note, had the blessing of driving the bus today. No passengers, me and Mr. Seatman, and got to drive through Brockport, went, fueled it up. Fuel was only $2.35 a gallon, propane, it's propane. Burns nice and clean. Anyways, that was a lot of fun. And looking forward to trying to get my, I got my permit, trying to schedule my road test. Man, I was like a little kid in the candy store. Was I not? Pastor Steven, I was just having a good old time. He kept reminding me to watch my lines, making me think I was off the line. Anyways, Satan, that's where we were. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, what is he doing? He's walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Very similar story that we find in Job chapter 1. Hey, where have you been, Satan? Oh, just going to and fro. What are you doing? Causing trouble. Satan's warfare is a planned warfare. Feels like every time an attack comes, it is unplanned, yes? In our life, we don't know what's on the horizon. We don't know that sometimes the enemy, poor Job's just sitting there making his offerings, kids are having feasts at their house, everything's going great, he's doing good, his health is good, His wealth is good. Unbeknownst to him, there's crosshairs right on his head. Sometimes life gets hard to understand. Number one, we need to remember that we have an enemy we cannot see. And nothing he would want more than to destroy your family, to destroy your life. And he is walking to and fro. Number two, what happens when trials when we're asked to endure trials that what we would consider we don't deserve? What did Job do to deserve this? We know that in our life, if I disobey God, there are consequences, right? I mean, that's just how it goes. We were talking a little bit about it kind of in light of school. Hey, when you don't do school procedures, you're going to fail your test. That's if you don't study, if you don't work hard, if you don't do those things, you're just going to fail. Hey, in Christianity, sometimes when you cling to that which you ought not to, that makes your life harder. But I don't see any evidence of Job doing that. He was serving God. He was doing what he was supposed to do. He had a heart after God, so much so that God renowned him, almost bragging to Satan himself about how good Job was doing. He didn't deserve these, but he was to endure them. He lost his property. We know the story. Let's continue. Job 1:13. It says, "And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. All your stuff is gone." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while I was yet speaking, and it goes on and on and on. You think you've had a rough life or a rough week or a rough year. Could you imagine that day? You've lost all your stuff and all your kids. What did Job do to deserve that? And we look at our life and go, I don't understand. I don't understand, God, what you're doing. But Job's responsibility wasn't to understand. Job's responsibility was to endure. To endure the loss of property, to endure the loss of children, to endure the loss of even health. Later he comes back and he's got sores. The loss of his wife. The loss of his friends. Look at Job 2:9. "Then said his wife unto him, dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." That was the helpful word from his spouse. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil?" And all this, did not Job sin with his lips? And all of that, yet Job still endured. And again, we look at that and go, and we take our life and, then we compare it and go, well, I guess it's not that really, I should really not be complaining. Hey, the things you're going through are tough. That's real. Yeah, fire didn't come down from heaven and consume your entire house and all your stuff is gone and you have $0 in the bank and you're sick and your spouse is, turning their back on you and the Lord and all 10 of your children gone in a moment. I know that didn't happen to you, but your life hits difficult spots. And you scratch your head going, I don't understand this. And God says that I don't necessarily need you to understand. I just need you to endure. I need you to make it through the test. Look at Matthew chapter 5. What a great verse this is. We're trying to find some comfort through all this. Yeah, our life isn't like Job's, but we've gone through some stuff. You've gone through some things. You might be in the middle of some things. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Hey, I want you to remind you that you have a God who cares for you. I don't know. Job seems to try and find some counsel and from help from his friends to no end. If you read the book of Job, it feels like he's at a breaking point and the Lord steps in and answers for him. But I want to let you know that, hey, it's okay to, blessed are they that mourn. Hey, it's okay to go through hard things. Listen, you might not have done anything wrong. Job didn't do anything wrong. He actually did everything right. And he didn't sin through it. You might be on the cusp of going through a difficult thing. I want to encourage you to endure it. Don't quit. Don't give up. John chapter 11. Look here. John chapter 11. We're almost done tonight. It won't be a long message. John chapter 11. Poor Job lost all his family. Jesus says this in John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know, even though we do suffer loss, it's comforting to know that God has a plan for us. It's good to know that this is not the end. That the difficulties that we go through, and we'll talk about this at the end, that the difficulties that we go through, that there is some answer at the end of it all. Even the hardest of things, a loss such as Job went through, Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. That's a blessing to know. But hard times still fall. So what do we need? This is the type of person I am. I like to have plan. Plans are good. Plans are good if they work. I was talking to Jason tonight a little bit before service. I'm like, hey, how's the car repair going? He's like, not good. He's got a bearing that's stuck in the back and he can't get it off. So he's taking it to a mechanic. It's good to have a plan. What's your plan? Well, we hit it with WD-40. We did this. We did that. We banged on it. We pulled. We did. No. Plans are good if they work, right? What's your plan next week? Well, our plan is to get in the car and drive. Yeah, but sometimes it's a good plan. And we need a plan for troubled times. But I'm here to tell you, insurance can't cover all the problems that show up sometimes. There are things that you cannot plan for. So what are you supposed to do? And here comes the help and comfort. Job chapter 1 in verse 20. This is really the only thing you can do. How do you prepare for hard things? How do you prepare for hard things that you don't understand? Job chapter 1 and verse 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Because the tendency would be to look at what happened if you were Job and you're looking at the horizon of what yesterday was to today. You say, God, what on earth are you thinking? He in no way charged God foolishly, it says. So how do you plan for these things? Well, you be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That is the only plan that you can have. To have a relationship with the Lord. If you noticed, when God was blessing and things were good, Job had a relationship with God. Job sacrificed. Job sanctified. Job hated evil. He feared God. He worshiped long before there was trouble. He had a real relationship. Too often, when hard things fall, The problem is not the problem. The problem simply reveals the problem. Very sad that Job lost his children. I feel bad that he lost all his cattle and things. Now we do know the end of the story and it's blessed multiple fold over. But in your life, when you go through a hard thing that you don't understand, you say, oh, that problem, it ruined me. No, it just exposed you. See, if we have a relationship rooted and grounded in the Lord, when hard things that we don't understand come to our life, we can endure through those troubled times. That's the only way you can prepare for that. We have a set of seniors getting ready, one of which is my son, that are getting ready for the next step of life. He's 17, almost 18. How do you prepare them for everything they're going to find? I can't. But I hope I have prepared him to be able to hear the voice of God in his life. That's the only way you can properly be prepared. A verse that is so common that we often overlook, but Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Look at, and lean not unto thine own understanding. When hard things happen and you don't understand them, don't lean on your understanding because you won't understand it. What should we do? I trust God. Job says, with nothing left, blessed be the name of the Lord. When his wife turns on him and he loses his health, he says, God's still good when God's still God if I've got good stuff or bad stuff. And he worshiped. It just exposes. The only way you could be really prepared. Job lost everything other than his relationship with God. And when we see it, and when we read through, we realize that is the most important thing. We put so much effort and into tangible things. And the reality is they could be gone in a moment. And we might never understand on this side why or how. You know, I was thinking about Angel Ragsdale. Man, what a rough week. Her mom passed away and the house they were staying in burned down. This is a young couple that's just trying to get to the mission field to tell people about Jesus. God, I don't understand. It is in those moments that what will be most valuable is your relationship with God. So to prepare for that, I encourage you to get in your Bible, read it, study it, worship God. So when the hard times come, you know what to do. Why do we have the book of Job? Why is this here? It seems like an isolated book. It's the oldest written book, chronologically, when it was actually penned. It is for us to be reminded that God lets Satan test us. He allows it. This was one of the greatest men that we have record of, just by how God defines his character. Remember what the Lord said about Job. There is none like him in the earth. I don't know if the Lord has rankings or whatever, but according to God, Job was number one. Perfect, upright, feared God, hated evil. So why? For God to get honor and glory. For God to be praised. To test Job, to see what Job really was all about. Remember, when you're going through these trials, these things that are hard that you don't understand, trust God. Because there was a thread that was consistent all the way through. The Lord was aware of his situation. He was watching the entire time. And we get to the end, Job chapter 38, and we'll be done. Job chapter 38. The last time we heard from the Lord was in chapter 2. In chapter 1, Job chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job. God is very much aware of what Job was going through. God is very much aware of what you're going through. In Job chapter 42, in verse 12, this will be our last verse. The Bible says, so the Lord blessed, in verse 12, 42:12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. I'll be honest, you might not see that on this side. But you stay faithful to what God has said. I promise you, in the end, it all does work out. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. It tells us his name. Verse 17, and Job died, being old, and look at his testimony. Being old and full of days. I want to encourage you here tonight. God's aware of your situation. He'll respond on your behalf. You don't have to understand the hard things. You just have to endure them. And the only way you can properly prepare for that, say, hey, things are going really good right now. You know, we're feeling good. The kids are good. Cars are running, health. Prepare. Prepare because there's an enemy unseen. There's an enemy walking to and fro, looking. May the Lord suggest your name in the throne of heaven. Have you considered my servant? And your name may be brought up. Oh, they only love you because of all the stuff you've got. Go ahead, take it all away. I'll show you. Chances of our trials being anywhere to the caliber of Job, probably not. But it's still hard. And there's things that we don't understand. It's still the same principle. I encourage you tonight to strengthen your relationship with the Lord. Because those problems simply just reveal how deep that is. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed.